Chapter 3. I came into my patrimony of secrets in the late 1960s in Flushing, Queens. At the time, my grandparents were still living in the Bronx, and generally, if my parents needed to be free of me for more than a few hours, I would be deposited in Riverdale. Like the space program, my grandfather's business was then at its peak, and though later he became a strong presence in my life, in those days, my clearest memory of him is that he was seldom around. My grandparents and their Martian zoo of Danish furniture shared 7 rooms in the Skyview overlooking the Hudson. They lived on the 13th floor, though it was styled the 14th because my grandfather explained the world was full of dummies who believed in lucky charms. It was bad luck, my grandfather said, to be a dummy. My grandmother also scoffed. Though she personally had no particular fear of the number 13, she knew that bad luck could never be fooled by such a simple-minded stratagem. Left to ourselves, my grandmother and I might go to see a movie, one of the interminable candy-colored epics of the day, Dr. Doolittle, The Gnomobile, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. She liked to shop every morning for that evening's dinner. Consequently, we spent a lot of time in grocery stores where she taught me to look for tomatoes that still had a smell of hot sun in their stems, and then in her kitchen, where she taught me the rudiments and entrusted me with knives. If I have inherited it from her, then she must have found a mindful mindlessness in the routines and procedures of the kitchen. It tired her to read aloud in English, but she had a lot of French poems by heart and sometimes recited them to me in the ghostly language of her loss. I formed the impression that French poetry trafficked mainly in wistful rain and violins. She taught me colors, numbers, the names of animals. Our, chat, cochon. There were days, however, when being left with my grandmother was not very different from being left alone. She lay on the sofa or on her bed with the curtains drawn and a cool cloth folded over her eyes. These days had their own lexicon, cafard, Algie, cri de foie. In 1966, the date of my earliest memories of her, she was only 43, but the war, she said, had ruined her stomach, her sinuses, the joints of her bones. She never said it.